A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. On the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early in the morning, while it was still dark, and saw the stone removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and to the other disciple, whom Jesus loved, and told them, "They have taken the Lord from the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." Mary stayed outside the tomb weeping, and as she wept, she bent over into the tomb and saw two angels in white sitting there, one at the head and one at the feet, where the body of Jesus had been. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken my Lord, and I don't know where they have put him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus there, but did not know it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" She thought it was the gardener and said to him, "Sir, if you carried him away, tell me where you laid him and I will take him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Stop holding on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and tell them, I am going to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and then reported what he told her. The Gospel of the Lord. Well, we celebrate today this great feast, really, of Mary Magdalene, a great woman, a great disciple, a great witness. Why do I say a great woman? Certainly a privileged woman, someone who had followed closely to Jesus. But in our gospel text today, we see her as really the first witness in some ways of the resurrection. Our text begins on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb. In some other resurrection stories in the gospels, several women come. But in this particular narrative, Mary alone comes early in the morning. And then we skip over. It may sound a little strange, except that between that section and the section we have where Mary actually witnesses the presence of the risen Christ, we have the story of how she had gone to Simon Peter and the other disciple, and they had come to the tomb, looked in, and the beloved disciple let Peter go first, but it does say that the beloved disciple saw and believed. And then we return to the text that we have, Mary having informed Peter and the other disciple, has come back to the tomb, but is outside the tomb weeping, grieving, not knowing what's happened. Can't explain, can't figure out. All she knows is this is one more loss. Yes, he died. She witnessed. She was at the foot of the cross. But this is too much. What's happened? Who took him? So she goes into the tomb. The angels ask the question. She assumes that they've been taken, that the body is gone, and so then she recognizes that there's someone else there whom she takes to be the gardener, whom she assumes is the one who took the body. All of this goes in a fairly dramatic way without Mary realizing what's going on. But then Jesus says to her, "Mary." What was it that allowed her to recognize him. Was it calling her by name? Was it the tone of voice? Probably no one else has said to her, Mary, in that way. Others may have said, Mary, or Mary, or Mary. But she recognized, as we often do in our own lives, when someone pronounces our name, who knows us well, who's intimate friend, she recognized and said, Teacher, it was he. Hard to believe. There he was. This very touching incident in which Jesus reveals himself to her, in which he restores a relationship that seems to have been lost, at least on her part, seemingly lost. He restores. Yes, he reminds her, this isn't the end. You can't hang on. You need to let go because I'm not going to be with you even in this way. But nevertheless, this moment of intimacy will always make her known throughout history as a great woman, that woman whom Jesus loved. The other disciple is described in the gospel, the disciple whom Jesus loved. But this is also another disciple whom Jesus loved, to whom he revealed himself, the first one to whom he revealed himself. And this takes us then to the next insight that Mary Magdalene is not only a great woman because of this friendship with Christ, but also because she's a great disciple. Why a great disciple? Incredibly faithful. Followed him during his life. Her particular legacy has been burdened with many other incidents that we find in the scriptures that may or may not have been her. But she was a faithful follower, clearly close, a strong disciple, pictured here in the Gospel of John as up there with Peter and the beloved disciple. But what stands out is her fidelity. She had been at the foot of the cross, the first one to come to the tomb, the one who grieves with alarm, doesn't know what to do. Fidelity. We can ask ourselves the question, what of my fidelity to Christ? As I look at my own discipleship, what of my fidelity? But then a great witness. After the exchange with Jesus, in which he instructs her, she immediately goes to the disciples, and the prophetic words, I have seen the Lord. The first one to really proclaim the good news makes her go down in history also as, in many ways, the first preacher of the risen Christ, the one to take the message back to the other disciples. The beloved disciple had looked in the tomb and believed, but then they had simply gone back to their homes, not sure what would happen next. But Mary goes, she proclaims the Lord, reports what was told to her, but with those great words of witness, I have seen the Lord. It's not just a report, not a simple proclamation of, but rather witnessing. The disciple is always called to witness. In my discipleship, my fidelity to Christ, what is the nature of my witness? Can I say, I have seen the Lord? There's something delicate, personal, tangible, concrete that's there. Even if we can't say, I have seen in the same way that she did, even if she did not see in the same way that we might sometimes assume, because the presence of Christ was clearly at first unrecognizable, we too can witness because we can speak out of our human experiences of God, our human experiences of Christ. And so this witnessing of Mary Magdalene challenges us to give witness to our own experience and not to hold back in a bashful way. And if that experience does not seem to be there, for us to ask ourselves, what of my discipleship, of my experience? Can we really, from the depth of our hearts and with deep conviction, say, we know Christ, we know he lives, we know because we know, we have seen the Lord. So this great woman, the first preacher of the good news, that outstanding disciple, the one who gives witness, reminds us what our responses to the risen Christ and our experiences of life in Christ is all about. In the end, we too are called to be great witnesses and to be numbered among all those included in that cloud of witnesses.